Y'all hear me outside in the foyer? The foyer. Can you hear me in the foyer? Mr. Billy. Do I need to talk louder? Is everybody awake this morning? How's your 2016 going? Good? Good? Give me a hand clap if it's going good so far. You're here. You arrived alive. And that's a good thing. Well, how do you guys like the new stage? Some of you haven't seen this yet, right? It's looking nice. We're about to launch. You get that? That was from last year. Into a new thing, being this year. And we're going to talk about some amazing things. Buren, over the course of the next year, and whoever else speaks after Buren about being, looked up the definition of being. Hold on 1 second, because I forgot it. But I wrote it down on my notes. Let me just go over this with you real quick so we can get a grasp on this. Number one definition, existence. Number two, the nature or essence of a person. I like that one personally. And number three, a real or imaginary living creature, especially an intelligent one. I liken myself to the third, but some may beg to argue. So I think Buren's going to go into giving this morning. And I was thinking about this, and I was, who throughout history, or who, either famous or otherwise, you could I label beyond a shadow of a doubt a giver? Interesting, but no. Quite possibly, but maybe. I don't know if you know a lady by the initials MT. I call her MT. We used to send emails, me and MT. MT stands for Mother Teresa. She's a giver. Her whole life she gave. I read some of the stories on Mother Teresa. When she left her family, she did not see them again until after they died. Went to India, gave her whole life in India. Built homes. Of course, you know the story of Mother Teresa. As a giver, though, I don't think that she set out to win the Nobel Peace Prize, for example. And yet she did. I think her main focus was always, I'm a giver and I'm going to give. My whole life, I'm just going to make it about giving. And I'm going to leave it at that. And as a result, she was honored and recognized as such. Now, leads me to my next point. How many know that Barbara and Buren are celebrating an anniversary of 40 years in ministry? Y'all give them a round. Act like you mean it now. As Buren would say, don't shout me down. 40 years in ministry. Do you know that ministry is constant giving? I've been around people in ministry. I've been in ministry for probably the last 20 years, it is constant giving. And sometimes, like he says when he gets up here, I didn't want to come this morning, but Barbara said, you're the pastor. You have to go. So I want to honor Barbara and Buren this morning as well for giving 40 years in ministry. That is an amazing thing. And Barbara's back there helping in the sound booth right now. So they're still giving. So welcome this morning. Got a lot of awesome things happening. If you'll stand with me, we're going to get into some worship. We'll get into the presence of God, and we'll start being everything we've called to be.
Amen.
There is no
This morning, as we start out this new year, as that song says, no turning back. I've made it my mind that I'm giving it all to him this time. This next song, it says, I want to know you. I want to be overwhelmed by your presence. I want to be overwhelmed by your spirit. Let it overtake me. Let me just decrease so he may increase. Don't you want more of him this year? Don't you just want to chase after him the way he just pursues you with his goodness and his love and his mercy? Don't you just want more of that? Don't you want to be filled with every good thing and just be filled so much with him that you just overflow with thankfulness and you overflow with his goodness and you overflow with his love? So this morning, I just encourage you just to kind of let go of yourself and just let go of any inhibitions you have, and that you reach out for him and that you make a decision that this year, I'm just going to have a heart of worship that's just extraordinary. I'm just going to have a heart of worship that some days there may be mornings where all you can do is just fall at the feet of him. There may be some mornings that this year that you run down to this altar and that you just weep, or you weep with the goodness that you feel because he's here, because you're overtaken by his presence. There may be mornings that you sit down in your seat and you just close your eyes and you're quiet and you listen and you let the Holy Spirit minister to you because you're reflective and you're just thinking about his goodness and what he's done for you that day, or just meditating on who he is. So whatever this year, or whatever this season, or this morning, wherever you are, whatever it looks like for you in that moment, I encourage you to submit to the moment, to submit to what you're feeling, and allow him to pour who he is into you. Amen.
I stand before you, all by majesty. Covered by your mercy, your blood has made me free. Draw me to you and set my heart on fire. I want to know you. I give you my word.
Your presence overtake my heart. Sing that out. And I want to know you, just your voices. Just Spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, yeah. We worship you.
Verses from Ephesians chapter 1. 16 through 23. I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has called to give in those he called his holy people who are in his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself.
From the cloud you speak, what was veiled now is seen. Jesus, the image of the
powerless, and all lost and lonely, and all the thieves will come confess and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy. And we will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah. All the hearts who are content,
go.
tell it to the masses that He is God. God, thank you for Eagles Way, and thank you for the people here, and thank you for the vision that we're following in 2016. Thank you for letting me know I need to be more of a giver, because it makes me happy. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it until just kind of this week. Thank you for everything you're doing in Griffin. Thank you for everything you're doing in the world. Help us understand that you're in control of all of it, even if we don't understand it.
You may be seated.
Yeah, I don't know if I can follow all that. Well, Happy New Year. And all. Got a new card. Same size, simplified. Same size, but simplified. It's a whole lot easier to fill out now. If you haven't been used to filling one out because it was complicated, this one's so easy. So easy to fill your name out, how you got here, and then volunteer for anything. So please fill this out. If you're a guest, please fill one out so we'll know that you're here. We promise we won't come beating on your door and bothering you and worrying you. We'll just pray for you. How about that? Isn't that cool? Oh, I'm just overwhelmed this morning. I'm glad I'm here. You glad you're here? Sometimes it's just good to be silent. You know, one of the things in our word for this year in being is praying. But when we get to that particular part of this series in January, I'm going to teach you not how to pray asking God for stuff. I'm going to teach you how to pray listening to God. Right. Amen. We talk too much. We talk way too much. We need to listen. Amen? I got a post this week. I've been looking for this for years. About 25 years ago, I came across this comic. Now, if you've been here, you've heard me quote this comic many times. But I never had it in my possession until Ron Walters, thank you very much. He posted this on my Facebook page. And it's the first time I've seen it in 25 years. But it says, boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world? It will never do that. In the ninth chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that would never happen again, and the sign of the promise is the rainbow. You've taken a great load off my mind. Sound theology has a way of doing that. Sound theology has a way of taking a load off your mind. Sound theology will give you peace. This is not my message, but I got to talk about this one. Sound theology is good. And you know that it's sound when it gives you peace. If it gives you peace, it's sound theology. If it gives you love, it's sound theology. If it gives you hope, it's sound theology. Aren't you glad for sound theology? We can be of a sound mind. Isn't that great? If that kid with a blanket knew that, we ought to know that. Appreciate all the words and the giving over for the end of the year giving, but especially the words and all the words that different people gave. It was amazing how many different words there were. If you haven't put your word in, you got time to still do it. Every pastor's meeting, we're just going to be blessing those words and speaking God's favor over those words. I had a lot of strange words, and I'm sure it only means whatever it's going to mean to you. But the strangest one we probably had was the word Mayflower. And Anna and Chris and Dusty was filling out theirs the last Sunday in the month, and they were putting theirs on their card, and they looked at John Hinton, Jet, and said, "Jet, what word do you want on yours?" And he said, "Mayflower." M-A-Y-F-L-O-W-E-R-Y, Mayflower. Dad said, "You can't put that on your card. You got to put something else. How about love?" He says, "Okay, love." And she told me the story. I said, "No, oh, no, no. You're not going to squelch that creative mind." He said Mayflower. Mayflower's going on the card. This may be a year of discovery for that boy. He just may discover things over and over and over again. So you never know what that word means. I thought when I chose my word, I thought it meant one thing, and I've come to realize over the last several weeks, it means something totally different. Like what God is showing me in my word, that what I thought it meant was not what it meant. It meant something far more than that. Far, far more than that. I want to talk to you today about giving. Say giving. You were created and I was created to be a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is the biggest, most productive principle in the face of the earth. Whatsoever we give, we receive. If we give, he said, it will be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Giving is something that will satisfy you and fulfill you more than anything in life. Blessed are those that give. It's more blessed to give, the Bible says, than it is to receive. Now, we're going to talk about giving, but we're going to talk about it in a lot more bigger thing than money. But we're going to see why it's such a blessing for those who do give their tithes and who give their offerings to God. And your offerings to God is not just some extra monies over here. Your offerings to God is you. Your offerings to God is making peace. Your offering to God is coming to God and saying, "Here I am, Lord, take all of me. I'm giving you everything that I am and will ever be. I'm handing that over to you." And in Malachi, there is a book, a last prophet of the Old Testament, who speaks the last words to Israel. And it will be the last words that they would hear from heaven for 400 years. Think about that for a moment before we read any of this. This is the last word that they would hear from a prophet, that they would hear from God for 400 years. And it's a very, matter of fact, I don't even like reading it. It is so strong of rebuke. It just sounds like God's pretty upset with them. But before we get into it and see why he was the way that he was and why he said what he said, was because how they had become so insensitive to his love. So insensitive to his love. And I want to show you how they became so insensitive to his love was by how they gave. Now, you may agree with this. You may not agree with this. But I believe it. You can always tell how much a person loves by what and how they give. You can always tell how much a person loves by what and how they give. It's not just what they give, but it's how they give. How many times over the years that I've seen fathers and mothers heartbroken because of the insensitivity to their children's love toward them after all that they had done for them. After all the love and the care and the kindness and the provision that they showed for them, and yet they get to a certain age and they become so insensitive to that love. And this probably in my lifetime in pastoral ministry, I don't think I've ever seen any persons hurt more than fathers and mothers whose children become so rebellious toward them. And they become so insensitive to everything that they had given them. Nothing could hurt a person more. And this is what Israel had happened to them. They had become so insensitive to a God who came and found them in Egypt, slaves to a government, being mistreated, persecuted, ridiculed, kept in poverty, and yet God comes and delivers them out, brings them to a land, into a place that they didn't build the land, they didn't build the cities, they didn't plant the vineyards, and he gave them all of this gold and all of this silver and all of these things. And they kept going through periods of such insensitiveness to this love that God had given them. Now I want to quote a scripture, and I want to read from Malachi chapter 1. You can pull that scripture up. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being God, being in the form of God, did not consider his equality with God something to be retained, but he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death of the cross. And because of that, God so highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at that name every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord." Now, here's what I want you to see from that. Because if we're going to understand our being, then in him we live and we move and we have our being. And if the poets of that day said that we were God's offspring, and Paul said, and this is true, you are God's offspring, but you have to understand, and I have to understand, there is always been and always will be an order. Always has been and always will be an order. And if you don't understand the order, then you won't understand really the love and the passion of God. There's always an order. Jesus was God, equal with God, yet he said, "I'm going to give up not my Godhead, I'm not going to give up being God. I'm just going to give up my equality with him. I'm not coming to give up my divinity. I'm not coming to earth so that I'm not going to be God anymore, but I'm coming to earth, I'm just saying I'm not as going to be as equal to God." And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "There will come a day when Jesus Christ himself will submit the kingdom to the Father, and he himself will subject himself to the Father." And so fathers have and should get all respect and all honor. Just the way it is. Honor your father and your mother sometimes. All the days of your life. There's an order. There's an order. E.D. Goss was my father, and that never changed. As smart as I got, he was still here, and I'm here. He's daddy. He's my father. And I became, surpassed him in knowledge and wisdom of Scripture, but never surpassed him in honor and respect. He was still my father. I asked Michael when the group got back on a tour in Japan, a whole month tour of Japan. And I said, "What did you get from that? What in that culture, what did you feel? What did you get in that culture?" He said, "I got nothing but respect and honor. Respect and honor." I talked to someone else who had been to Japan, and I asked them, what did they get? They said, "You know, we watched every day as these businesses, no matter how small it was or how large it was, how often they would go, not once a day, but sometimes two and three times a day, they would leave their business because of prosperity and God blessing them and would go find a shrine unto Buddha and would give an offering. Two and three times a day. Now, if their Buddha is worth that, what is our God worth? And maybe we don't have the respect and the honor in our nation as we should have because of not respecting and honoring who we should. In Malachi 1, verse 6, the Lord of heaven's army says to the priest, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I'm your father and master, where's the honor and the respect I deserve? You've shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect when you give blind animals as sacrifices. Isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of the heaven's armies. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors. Is that, you're talking about a rebuke. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't a priest at that day. And God of heaven, speaking through a prophet, says to me, I wish you just shut the door, Buren. Shut the temple door, so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offerings. But my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. All around the world they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Wow, all these other nations do all this giving as incense unto me, and yet the ones who I called out of darkness into the marvelous light, those who I delivered from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, those that I took from slavery to bring them to freedom, don't honor and respect me enough to offer their sacrifices the way they should offer them and not give me an animal that's diseased or blind, but give me the best that you've got, because I'm a God of heaven and earth and I deserve the best that you have. And it's always been this principle. And I want to read you a story from Matthew and a story from Luke. And it's the same story. It's the same story. In Matthew 26, it says in verse 6, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. Disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. Boy, that sounds like good preaching, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds pretty right on, don't you think? Instead of pouring ointment on Christ, pouring this expensive perfume on Jesus, don't you think that seemed like a pretty good deal, seemed like a pretty good thing to say? All of the disciples were indignant that this woman had the audacity to come and do what she was doing. And you got to understand, what she had, her alabaster box, was her whole life savings. It was everything she'd ever hoped for, so that when she got married, she'd bring this into the marriage and they would start it off in a good financial posture. And they're indignant. Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And guess what we're doing? We're remembering and we're discussing what this woman did. You find out when you read the other parts of Scripture about this story that she was a prostitute. That she was a woman who was caught up in prostitution, and she was a woman who Christ had forgiven, and she had become whole. Another, in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman's touching him. She's a sinner. Thought we just sang to let them come. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. See, they didn't say it. They were just thinking it. In case you don't know, you don't have to say it. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. Woo. He knows what you're thinking. Simon, oh boy. He said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. While it's loved. Go ahead, teacher. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to another. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more? After that, Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss from the time I first came in. She has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with a rare perfume. I tell you, her sins that are many have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. For a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Let me tell you something, what he's saying. He's saying she has recognized how much she has been forgiven, and you haven't recognized how much you have been forgiven, because we've all been forgiven a whole lot. And if we become aware of how much we've been forgiven, then we will pour out our love to him too. You only love him as much as you recognize and know and are aware of how much he has loved you. He said in the beginning of Malachi chapter 1, he says, I have always loved you. I have always loved you. Now, I'm not going to read all of it because we don't have the time, but you got to understand what was going on in this controversy, conversation between Malachi and Israel. And him speaking for God saying, you've shown me contempt. How we do that? How we do that? You've shown me disrespect. How did we do that? You keep saying that the evil person is blessed, that the evil person is prosperous. You keep saying to me, you know, there's just no profit in serving God. You just got to read the whole book of Malachi. That's what they said. There's just no profit in serving you. We're going through some tough times, and you just don't care. You just don't care. And in verse 6 of chapter 3, he says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. How many are glad he doesn't change? Oh, gosh. Aren't you glad that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's not moody. You don't come in your house one day going, hello, how are you doing? And come in the next day, ugh. He don't wake up one morning and going, this is the day that I have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And wake up one day, oh, no, not another day. He doesn't change. This is why your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of our ancestors, you've scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return? We have never gone away. Then he says these harsh words. Some people cheat God. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so it'll be room enough in my temple. If you do so, says the Lord of heavens, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to test. Only time. You can read from Genesis to Revelation. He never says to anybody, test me. Matter of fact, he says, don't you test me. He's not the one who gets the test. But here he says, I'm going to let you test me this one way. This one time, and in this one way, I'm going to let you test me. See, your crops will be abundant. I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fail from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I'm going to close with telling you exactly to the best of my ability what he just said. Because what he just said is a mouthful of good stuff. I'm talking, say good stuff. Wow. First of all, he says, I'm going to open windows of heaven. Now, I've heard this quoted all my life. I was talking with Ralph for the last 2 weeks. I said, I don't think we've ever understood. What in the world are the windows of heaven? What are the windows of heaven? We don't even know where it is. How are we going to know that the windows of heaven are open? How are we going to know if the windows of a place is open? When you can't see it. Now, unless somebody's here seen heaven. Anybody seen heaven? Okay, I'm on the right track. Anybody seen God? Yep, all around you. Okay, all right, ready? I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I thought I'd do a little research, a little study, Joe. What are the windows? Well, I found out that windows are for vision. It's so you can see. It's so you can look out and see, and so you can let light in. Isn't that great? For me, this is the greatest blessing of all that he's ever given me of anything. This is the greatest blessing in my life. Because I wouldn't take the revelation and the visions that God's given me of his word for anything. There's not enough money that you could buy that for me. I would never sell it. That's why he said, buy the truth and don't you sell it. Windows help you see. They're provision. In 2 Kings, there was a great famine. And a prophet speaks to Israel and says, by this time tomorrow. And I'm going to paraphrase, okay? So you'll get it. You can go read it in your own Bible. But you're going to get it better when I tell you what it says. He said, by this time tomorrow in this famine we're going through, you're going to be able to go buy a Mercedes for $5. Pretty good, right? You're going to be able to go get T-bone steaks for $0.05. Whew. You're going to be able to go get a filet mignon, Barbara. Matter of fact, they're just going to give them away. Wow. Really? And this is what a man says. He looked at the prophet and he said, if God opened the windows of heaven, this wouldn't happen. And the prophet looked at him and said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake. Yes, sir. I want to see it, and I want to partake. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll provide for you where there seems no way. It just seems like there's no way out. I'll provide. It's for protection. How many times in you reading the Bible, two spies, let them out of the window. And you who did that, put that scarlet cord out your window. You put that scarlet, when we're coming back. With fierce anger. We're coming back. But when we do, if you put this cord out your window, you'll be saved. And a whole wall around them crumbled to the ground, but one wall, one window, one scarlet cord stood erect. Paul, you can trouble. Let us let you down out of this in a basket out of this window. How many times, darling, you got to sit right over here, okay? You got to sit right over here. There you go. Thank you. And how many times he said, if I'm going to get you out of this situation, it seems like there's no way to escape. I'm going to get you out. I'm going to pour you out blessings, not just blessings. They're not room enough to receive them. They're super abundant. They're super abundant. I'm going to protect your seeds. I'm going to protect your crops. I'm going to protect everything that you do. And last but not least, he says nothing in your life, and God, is ever going to be untimely. I've said this to a couple of you over the last 6 months. And I repent when I said this couldn't be at a more untimely time for you. There's no such thing with God. No matter when it is, what time it is, it's never untimely with Him. Never, ever untimely with Him. He says, I'm going to make sure that everything is timely in your life. And you'll never hear me ever say again to another person, man, this was just the worst time this could ever happen to you. God is outside time. And he said, your fruit won't ripen too quick. It'll be on time. And you're going to have it always timely, Kitty, in your life. Always. Always. Stop complaining. And start thanking. And stop taking and start giving. I got an email this week from India. I'm going to show you about four pictures. This is the church in Chillicothe that we've been to 4 times. Isn't it beautiful? It's their Christmas decorations. Providence, the pastor, sent me an email just thanking me for all the things that we've done for them. And this is their Christmas service. Before I get to the real impact of it, isn't that gorgeous? It's because we spent thousands of dollars over there. Thousands. I probably calculated total, Ken, $25,000, $30,000, $50,000. I don't know how much. But they weren't anywhere there 15 years ago. And Christmas morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, Santa. 5 o'clock in the morning. Hear this. Christmas morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 3,000 people attended a candlelight service. When we was over there 15, 20 years ago, there's about 1,000 people. 3,000 people. 3,000 people at 5 o'clock Christmas morning attend the candlelight service. Wow. Know why? Because some people, for years and years and years, have made the treacherous journey to this little village called Chillicothe, surrounded by nothing but poverty. Nothing but poverty. Nothing but poverty has become a light all around for hundreds and hundreds of miles around India. You know, when they give, they come to their temple, their church, and they don't have money. Very few have money. But that altar will be filled with rice, little bags of rice. That's all they got. And they'll fill that altar every Sunday morning with what they can give. The reason that God rebuked Cain was not because of what he gave, is how he gave it. The Bible says that it came a process of time that they brought offerings to God, and Abel got of the best of his flock. He was a livestock person. He went and got the very best he had, and he brought it to God. Cain was a farmer. The Bible says, and in the Hebrew, he just went out and he's gathered up some stuff and he brought it to the Lord with no thought in it. Not, is this the best I got? He just gave it. See, it's not just what we give, it's how we give it. Not just what we give, but how we give. And I am going to be, this is my goal for this year. There's an alms box out there. That alms box is for alms and missions. And I'm believing, God, that every time we come into these doors, we're going to find that alms box. I don't care if we drop $5 in it, $10 in it, $50 in it, but you're going to find yourself just constantly going by that box and feeding that box with stuff. And I'm believing there's going to be a greater alms and missions giving in this year than we've ever given before. That's beyond the tithe. But man, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? I hear this said a lot, and we all say, you can't outgive God. That's about the dumbest statement on the face of the earth. Of course you can't. Of course you can't. The creator of the universe. I'm not even going to put myself in that frame of mind anymore. You can't outgive God. Really? They're not asking you to try to outgive God. Outgive yourself. Because you can do that. You can do that. Well, Jacob liked it. Broke me up. He did break me up. Thought I knew what a giver was. As soon as he said that, I got my focus off him onto me. That's him and God right here. That's great and that's awesome. That's got to go. What I was thinking of, wow, I think I give. Maybe I think I give. Don't give nearly what I think I give. We got one or two choices. Always do, don't we? If God opened the windows of heaven, that won't happen. Won't for you. Sure won't. But if we become givers, you got an irrevocable promise. It's the only promise he ever said. You test me in this. Test me in this and see what's going to happen. See what's going to happen. See what's going to happen. And the thing about it is so much of it you're not going to be able to see. Because there's so many ways that God blesses. It's way beyond the human eye, a human mind, comprehension. Way beyond it. Way, way beyond it. I'm asking you, me, all of us together that make up this particular body of Christ, this particular aspect of God, this particular portion of his family, that we one and all decide, I'm going to live and I'm going to move and I'm going to have my being in him. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I've got to be a giver. I've got to give. It's just no way out. That's just the one word, one aspect of it that I'm going to give. Amen? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Now we're getting mighty quiet. Stand together in the eldership coming. We're going to receive communion. Forgiveness of sins, and communion's open to you to come and receive and to remember what he has done for us. Mm-hmm. saw a post the other day and had to make a quick phone call. It said that Stacy Carmichael and Dee Healer used to be, and her son Jack were in a wreck. And so I got on the phone, started calling, seeing what's going on, and she was at the emergency room. Anyway, I ended up, they got released. She had a bad bruised leg, and Jack was okay. Well, they got T-boned that was coming out, and the car ran a red light and T-boned them, but instead of hitting the door, they just this side of the door where Jack was sitting. And so when I called Stacy the next day and just asked her how she was doing, she told me, but this is what got me. She said, I wrote on my card, live. Live. He is an always loving God. I have always loved you. It's one of the greatest statements in Scripture I think I've ever read. And when he looked at Israel in their disobedient, rebellious stage and says, I have always loved you. And aren't you glad that his body was broken for us so that we too could go and serve others? And that his blood was shed for us so that we can be forgiven of all of our sins and so that we could go and forgive others. In Isaiah 48, there's a long passage of Scripture. And God's again talking to Israel in their rebellious state of disobedience. And he says, I have forgiven you for my sake. In this being aspect, know this. You don't forgive other people for them. If God had to forgive for his sake, think about it. It's pretty deep.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, several ways you can do that. You can write a check and put that in there. If you use cash and want an envelope, those envelopes are available for you in the foyer. If you'd rather do it from your home, you can do it online at the EaglesWayChurch.org website. Any way that you want to list that, you can. Just specify if it's tithes or offerings or alms or whatever ministry you may be giving to. So, this Friday night is the return concert. Some of you have gone, oh, I didn't realize it was so soon, because a lot of you haven't gotten your tickets yet. So, right after service, if you want to grab your tickets, it is a fundraiser. The funds that are being raised are going to purchase some things in the children's department and the nurseries down here that is much needed. And so the ladies' ministry is working hard at doing that. It is different than last year. If you came last year, we are staying stadium style like this. There's not going to be tables. There is not going to be a meal that you can have like we did last year. That's why we've reduced that cost. But there will be some snacks and things that you can purchase if you'd like to do that. So make sure you get your tickets. If you forget to get them this morning, just go to the website. There's an icon there. Just click on it. It'll take you right there and allow you to do that. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can receive. But, Lord, we thank you that we can give. Give of our time and our talents and our treasures. Lord, that it'll be used for the multiplication of your kingdom in people's lives, in this community, and in this world. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Let's worship.
From the cloud you speak, what was veiled now is seen. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Thank you.
wonderful week. God bless you.